me some pot. Yeah, what you are, you can be what you're not. Hip, hip, you wanna be hip. You know it all if you don't take a trip.
Smoke two joints in the morning, I smoke two joints at night. Smoke two joints in the afternoon, and it makes me feel alright.
She's a hothead, hothead, hothead.
Cause I got high, because I got high, because I got high. La da 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 da.
High, high, yeah.
Rolling my homegrown, smoking a big bone. Look at that ganja covered with oil.
Oh my God.
Using my tweezers.
Woo!
Got pot in the freezer.
Whoa!
Made a new pipe out of aluminum foil. We stayed away again in Marijuanaville.
Welcome to Packers Without Borders, the greatest podcast on the planet.
Bienvenidos Empacadores Sin Fronteras, dos papás dedicados al amor, la risa y los empacadores de Green Bay.
Packers Without Borders, the greatest podcast on the planet. Two dads talking love, life, dedicated to the Green Bay Packers. Go Pack, go!
Verde y amarillo hasta la muerte.
I'm having a little THC tea.
Nice. I was up at 5:15 this morning. Thanks to my dog's wet ass nose smelling my ass in bed and not letting me sleep. Ugh.
I'm just falling apart.
All right. There's still time to regroup.
I love you, sweet leaf. Okay.
Hashtag not sponsor.
Hashtag soon. Coming to a store near you. Let me have a little bit more of my tea.
Hey, buddy, at least you've got this week off before you start grinding for another 22 hours a day.
It'll be this week. It looks like most of next week, but then the following week, it's all hands on deck. So I've got to train 12 new guys this year.
Oh, man.
So it'll be at least 2 weeks with four new guys, 2 weeks with another two guys. So it'll be 6 weeks without a day off.
Yeah. Got four appointments this afternoon. I've got 52 prospects I need to meet in the next 2 weeks. Well, a week and a half, right? Because it's Wednesday. So I'll be busy. It'll be good.
So let me say in my deepest voice, it's our 100th episode, baby.
Oh my God, dude. Okay, you know how the gods shine on you every once in a while? How
just
is it
every possible? Now and then?
Yeah, just without even planning.
No, we planned this. Are you kidding? Yes. We planned this on Father's Day of last year. Don't lie. You could tell everyone. Okay. We planned this.
Not true.
Completely not true. We didn't even know this is how bad it was. Yesterday, I was like, hey, wait a minute. Tomorrow's 420 and tomorrow's our 100th episode.
And until you told me, I didn't realize that either.
I had to run out. Those of you that saw my Twitter feed, you saw what I got. So I got four cans of pop, right? That's for me. So I got four cans of pop. I got two sets of different types of gummies. I got two pre-rolls. They're huge. They look like, you know, penises. They're monsters. And then I got four new vape cartridges. So I got some Super Lemon Haze. Of course, you gotta have the lemon Super Lemon Haze. I love this stuff. I love this. This stuff. If I could get it in an IV, that would be good. And then I got Magic Melon. I got
Flint Sweet Peas.
It tastes like snap peas. Ever had snap peas? Yeah, it tastes like that. It's the weirdest thing. It goes down real smooth, and then as you exhale, you're like, snap peas. How is that melon? It's snap peas, right? It reminds me of, remember The Matrix, where the kid says, the computer must have glitched because everything tastes like chicken, right?
Yes.
It's like that. That's not melon. That's snap peas. And then I got Twisted Tea, and I got these. These are THC teas. So it's a T-E-A, right? Mm-hmm. And it actually, it doesn't taste too bad. It's not too bad. I put a little bit of honey in there,
mm-hmm.
which is good for three reasons. Number one, it's good for your throat. Number two, it sweetens it up. And number three, the sugar in there, it makes your liver create an enzyme that the THC activates with, so it gets you higher quicker.
Tip of the day.
For those of you following along in your workbooks at home,
take notes.
I'm on the back page already. The kid at the counter was like, hey, we're doing a promotion where we ask questions about marijuana, and then if you get the questions right, he says, we give you something for free. I says, okay, great. And he goes, the number one use for marijuana, I said, is to smoke and ingest it. I kept cutting him off, and I just kept saying, smoke it. And he was just looking at me, and I'm like, do I get something for free? And he goes, yeah, all right.
You are a frequent shopper, frequent flyer. What does it say? What does your shirt say? You don't have to repeat yourself. I was ignoring you the first time. That sounds like my kids.
Oh, I don't even want to get into that. My son. Okay. So my son, and we talked about, he was trying out for the badminton team. Okay.
Yep.
And the coach said, and this is all I can ask for as a dad, right? Oh, look, I've got my McAfee is going to scan as we're on. Of course, the computer's been on for 2.5 hours, did nothing. I flip up the fucking screen. Suddenly it wants to update and do everything.
Yep.
So, he tried out for the badminton team. Now, this badminton team, this is grade 6 badminton. Okay. So this isn't Olympics or anything of that nature. This is grade 6 badminton. And it's a big deal for him, though. It's the first team that he's trying out for. It's not one of those teams. Yeah. It's not one of those teams where everybody makes the team, right? In fact, they had 36 kids trying out, and they had to whittle it down to 8. So I felt bad for the coach because I thought, whoa, I do not want to tell 28 kids tough luck.
Yeah.
So this is what the coach did, which was smart. He's a great, great coach. Okay. So he gave them YouTube videos to work at home. Mm-hmm. He practiced with them 2 days a week for 2 hours each time for a whole month. And then he said, okay, we're going to do tournaments, round robin tournaments between the 36 of us. And mm-hmm. we'll have them Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. It's double elimination. And he goes, and we'll make it fair. We'll go right down to the final 8, and those will be part of the team that travels the city and stuff like that. And so my son said, well, I'm really nervous. I really hope I make the team. And I thought to myself, gosh, you know, there's only 8 spots, 36 kids.
It sounds a lot like your daughter with the track, right? Where it was just, what are the chances of you finishing here? And here it is, out of 36, got to be.
He was double eliminated in the first 2 games. Eliminated from the team. He called me 20 minutes after the tournament started, called me and told me, you can come pick me up. And I thought, oh, my God. I'm going to get a kid. I would be floored. I would be just a disaster. I'd be crying in the corner. I would be just punishing myself. And I drove over there. I barely even had one shoe on. And I drove over there on 2 tires, pulled into the parking lot, expecting my kid to come out. He came out swinging his bag. He goes, hey, Pop, what up? I said, hey, what happened? He goes, oh, I lost 2 games in a row. I said, are you serious? And he goes, yeah. I said, did you score any points? He says, yeah, I scored about 15 points out of the 2 games. I said, well, that's pretty good. He goes, I had a lot of fun. It was a lot of work the last couple of weeks, and I had a lot of fun today. He goes, but I didn't make the team. Gets in the truck, and then he looks at me, and he goes, are we going to go somewhere for dinner? Didn't faze him.
Good.
I thought, this is the strongest person I know. This would have put me on my ass for 2 or 3 days. I would have felt this. water off his back. He was like, I had a blast. This was awesome. He goes, I'm trying out for the next team.
You know, what's great is with the trophy culture for participation that exists, right? This trophy culture that we live in right now, it is good to have our kids go through and, fail, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you have to learn to fail. You have to learn. And I've explained it to my daughter with my business. I fail lots. I make mistakes lots. I fall down lots. The key is getting back up and not doing those same mistakes or same fails again.
Right.
That means you're improving. That's, you know, it's just like Rocky. It's not about getting hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep coming. Right. Like, that's the whole idea is, can you take that punch and keep coming? I'll tell you, the screen's getting a little fuzzy. This tea is awesome.
It's awesome.
It's good. So listen, we got a little bit of business to take care of, and then we have a new game.
We do.
A new game. Should we say the name? Let's say the name of the game. So it's called Kitchen Appliance or Sex Toy. All of our games seem to have a bit of a theme. They all seem to be a little perverted.
And a lot of research went into this.
If you're listening to this at work on a break, you may want to turn down the microphone because cock, shit, fuck, piss, motherfucker. Okay?
Penis, vagina.
Penis, vagina. That's probably going to be brought up too. A penis and a vagina.
Yes.
Okay. So first things first, Sammy Watkins' contract was released. It's a nominal contract. This is almost exactly like the Funches signing. It's a whole got to make the team, got to play, got to do this, got to do that to get paid. It only works out to, I think it's like 1.77, as long as he makes the team and makes the roster, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing else has really moved as teams are getting ready to plug for the draft. I'm sure that there's a lot of backroom dealings. I want to trade this guy for this guy. What's this guy worth? That sort of thing. I'm going to be honest with you. If I see one more of your fucking mock drafts, I'm going to hunt each and every one of you down. This is just ridiculous. We don't know who is going to be where.
I don't care. It's fun.
And we don't know who's going to be where. We don't know who's going to get taken first. You have no idea. Everybody goes, all the wide receivers would be gone by first. Aaron Rodgers was supposed to be picked first or second. And they thought he was going to be first. They take Alex Smith. He drops to 24. Right? Like, you don't know. You just don't know.
Now, I agree.
I also read somebody saying the only way that we're going to get either Olave or
London,
the other guy, London, or any one of those guys, the only way we're going to get one of those guys is by trading both picks to get into the top five. And he said, I'm sorry, but none of these wide receivers are worth two first-round draft picks.
Right.
And I 100% agree with him. I 100% agree with him. There isn't one receiver in the draft that's worth two first-round draft picks. And you know how I know this? Because Davante Adams was only worth one first-round draft pick.
And here's the thing, too, with that. When you're talking about top five, when you're looking at the top nine teams, right, you've got some quarterback-hungry teams that want to trade out of those positions because these quarterbacks are not worth a top 10 pick, or at least seemingly so, right? So finding a trade partner up there, again, I think the sweet spot is going to be 13 to 15 range, 13 to 16 range before the Eagles and the Saints and the Patriots come up if we want to get one of these guys, right? Because they're going to take the two top edges. There's a lot more offensive line that I think is going to go early as well.
Now, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
If you're, let's pretend you're Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take Jordan Love and our number 22 pick for your ninth?
100%.
Right? Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen.
You're saying Atlanta, and I'm saying it's going to be in that 13 to 16 range, more than likely Houston, who needs to collect a lot of picks.
I think it's going to be like the glove in Infinity Wars, just this boom, like a holy moly. I can't believe we traded that Would it be now? I'm just speculating, having fun, and I'm really high because it's 420. But what about Aaron Rodgers to Jacksonville for the number one pick overall?
And who do we take?
I don't know.
Man, I don't want to be in the top five picks this year with the way the draft is set up, because the guys that are picking up at the top of the draft, and the Jaguars have now picked number one for 2 years in a row. They're the only, you know, the Browns did that back in the day. Nobody's ever had to pick at the one 3 years in a row. And then you work your way down to
You should be forced to give your franchise up if you do it 3, 4, 5 years in a row. You should be forced to sell your franchise.
Well, they overpay. There was a tweet I saw this morning about how Trey Lance, and he now has weapons, and how do you feel about this? And I said, I feel like they keep spending money on me overpaying for mediocre players, which is why they are where they are. The fact that you're spending a lot of money does not necessarily mean, look, we got Sammy Watkins for $1.85 million, dude. Like, that's it's nothing. And the good thing about that I saw that was really
interesting. And I'll take Sammy over Kirk.
100%. And what I liked about it is they explained that the way the contract is structured, because of the amount of money, then we do not lose our compensatory pick for MVS if he does anything, because they're not equal in value. So we still don't lose our MVS to Kansas City pick, which would be a fifth round pick, right? Because MVS, and good for him, man. You think about that. And I love to tell all the naysayers that said that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any weapons. Guess what, dude? A fifth round pick, a fifth round wide receiver, just got paid $10 million to be the one on the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, he'll be the two. Yeah, it's Kelce, yeah. But wide receiver wise, he's the one. More interestingly, and I am kind of getting excited on the inside, and even though I know it's absolutely not going to happen, but Debo has officially come out and said he is requesting a trade from the 49ers, that he does not want to be on the team. He does not want to get into specifics as to why, but
he ain't coming to Green Bay. He ain't coming to Green Bay. I can give you my left nut. He ain't coming to Green Bay because of a couple of reasons. We always meet San Francisco in the playoffs. The last thing they want to do is meet a pissed off Debo on the Packers in the playoffs, right?
He shows up in the big games.
He's going to go somewhere in the AFC probably, or maybe, you know, maybe he goes to the NFC North, but he goes to the Bears, right?
I don't think the Lions, because I think the issue is the quarterback position in San Francisco more than anything. The fact that Garoppolo, who's his buddy, is not going to be starting. They've already pretty much, the writing's on the wall. It's going to be Trey Lance, and he's been with that kid. Doesn't feel that's good. So the quarterback piece of it, I think, has something to do with it. But my question to you is this. Would you trade?
No.
The 22. Oh, okay. Would you trade the 22 to San Francisco?
No.
Or Debo?
No.
Why not?
Couple of different reasons. Number one, we see these gadget guys that do absolutely everything, and they have short careers in the NFL, 1, 2, 3 years tops, right? Look at Ty Montgomery. Look at who was the guy in Seattle? What was his name? The Switch, or what was his name? Cordell Patterson.
Oh.
Remember? Slash.
Minnesota Bears. Yeah.
These guys now
the running back for Atlanta.
Right? These guys who play multi-position and all over, and they do everything, they don't last long. They don't last long at that. They just don't. A major injury comes along, and that's the end of it, right? Oh, maybe he can go his whole career. Do you think he can go his whole career running and catching the ball? So he's going to get hit twice as much as a running back, twice as much as a wide receiver. You think he's going to go and not have an injury? That's what slows all of these guys down. Look at Donovan McNabb. He used to be a scrambler and thrower. He was like a Michael Vick, and then he broke his leg. When guys try and do too much,
mm-hmm.
you know, they tend to be a splash for a year or two, and then they're gone, right? Cordell Patterson. Look at him, right? Cordell Patterson, all over the place, doing absolutely everything. And people go, oh, he's still good. Yeah, he's not a game changer like he was before.
Well, the thing with Debo and the reason I like Debo is for this reason. So first off, I'm on the other side of it where I would be good because I almost feel that the question is, it's not a money issue. Okay. It's not a money issue. It's because it's a 1 year rental. And if he shows what he did in 2021, which was better than 2020 and 2019, if he is the 2021 version, we will sign him to a long-term contract, right? Like that's anybody that we're going to bring in at this level is because we're expecting them to stick around. Now, my question is, and I think most of us are on the side of, I'd much rather have a wide receiver with that potential on his rookie contract than a guy like Debo, who's proven 1 year, right? Like he's a proven commodity who did well last year, but also is going to regress, just like Aaron Rodgers regressed, just like everyone regresses at some point in their career.
When did Aaron Rodgers regress? He just won back-to-back MVPs. Well, he seems to be getting better.
I think the regression for Aaron Rodgers came in 2018 and 2019, and the McCarthy firing and the switch of scheme is what resurrected his career. I honestly believe that had McCarthy been
thought he played better the first year in the LaFleur's offense when he took what the LaFleur's offense gave him than he did the last 2 years. That's what I thought. I thought he should have won the MVP the first year because he wasn't trying to make those plays. He was dishing the plays off and letting the stars make the plays. I thought that was a better, but what do I know? Right.
Right. And the second side of the coin with this is, okay, you get Debo, you've got a proven commodity with the money. Because really, ultimately, in the draft, what you're trying to do at 22 is trying to find a Debo Samuel, trying to find a player of that caliber and that level that's worth a first-round pick. And Debo was a second-round pick. Remember that, right? So, obviously, he is absolutely 100% geared to go to the Packers because that's all we like are second-round wide receivers, according to the media. But, you know, last year, he had 121 targets. Dude, obviously, the target hog for San Francisco. 77 receptions, 1,400 yards, 18 yards per reception. So just outstanding numbers, dude. I mean, those are the only thing he's not really prone to doing as the phone fucking rings. And I knew.
Oh, let me get it. Let me get it for you. Answer it on the air.
Okay. Hold on.
No. I don't want to answer.
What do you think? Do you think it's solar or do you think it's car warranty? No. And I guess the biggest knock is that he's not prone to finding the end zone in his first 3 years. He's just not there. And that's my concern, right? Because you need the way that he plays. And you're right. I think he's more than a gadget player, but he is more of a closer to the line type of guy that has very quick releases and then is great after the catch, which is why they use him as a running role. But I would not be upset if they brought Debo in and have Sammy and then we'll take a wide receiver, but now we're at 22 and we can take our biggest need, whether that's wide receiver or we can take best available at 22 at that point. And then come back and get a Pickens, come get a Treylon Burke, somebody like that, and keep the young guy on there as well as an insurance policy.
You know, every time you do the mock draft, if you did the mock draft a month ago, Devontae Wyatt was gone in the first 10. Now you do the mock draft and Devontae Wyatt isn't even going in the first round.
Exactly. Right?
We just don't know. We do know that there's 18 teams that pick before the Packers and they could all potentially take a wide receiver. They could potentially, right? I mean, I'm not saying each one of those teams, 18 of those teams, 18 out of 18 take a wide receiver, but I am saying potentially – there's 18 teams that are all looking at the exact same thing that we're looking at.
Yep.
Right. I don't know. You know what? I don't know. I want to talk about your greatest marijuana experience.
Oh Lord.
You're funny. As my buddies and I, we have one that we talk about all the time. And I used to have a 1970 Pontiac Firebird. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember those cars, there's a back seat, but there's really no back seat, right? It's super tiny back there. And my buddy Chris is in the back seat. My buddy Clint is sitting in the passenger seat, and I'm driving. And we drive out to it's called Kings Park, okay? And Kings Park is a city park, and there's one way in, one way out. The parking lot looks like just a big figure eight.
Okay.
You go in one way, you come out the other way, you just drive in the circle and you can't miss it.
Right.
So we go out there. It's like 9:30 at night. It's pitch black. We get out there and we hot box my Firebird. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to the point where we couldn't see each other. I mean, I think we had like four joints. There's three of us. We had four joints going at the same time. It's just white, thick fog. We roll down the windows. Whew, okay. Everybody airs out. We sit there for a little while. My buddy Clint goes, wow, I'm really feeling it. And my buddy Chris says, and I mean, and I'm messed. I am completely messed up, right? My buddy Chris says, I ain't feeling a thing. I think it's bunk weed. And we look in the back seat and he has his feet behind me, the driver, and his ass is on the middle part, you know, on the floor, the little mm-hmm. hump. And then he is laying in the other, you know, footwell behind the passenger. He's not even on the seat, but he's straight, like he's planking. He's just stiff as a board. And he goes, I don't feel a thing. We're like, no shit, you don't feel a thing. Right? You're just messed. You're correct, right? You're messed, man. So we sat there for a little while, and then my buddy Clint's like, man, we got to go. We used to go to Salisbury House. There's still Salisbury Houses out here. But Salisbury House would make these really great. They were like the hangover place to go to, just like the Waffle House, right? You can mm-hmm. get breakfast any time of day, and they have big, juicy, greasy burgers that'll take away the hangover. He's like, we got to go to Salisbury House. We got to get something to eat. I'm like, I'm in, right? Put the car in reverse, back up, start driving. We go for the exit. 30 minutes, we circled the parking lot looking for the exit. There's only one entrance and one exit. And we circled and circled. And because you'd go, man, I missed the exit. And then you'd start driving and you'd be like, okay, pay attention. Then somebody say something. And hey, you're not kids, paying attention anymore.
Look, kids, Big Bend, Parliament.
Fish and chips. There it is, right? We still talk about it to this day. We're always like, remember when Chris was stiff as a board and we couldn't find our way out of the parking lot? That was the greatest.
So Ideal Burger, and then I'll tell you my story, but Ideal Burger for you, if you can, ingredients, all of it, type of bread, type of meat, what's the cooking temperature, all that good stuff. What's your ideal burger?
My ideal burger? Oh, you know, it's a brie, mushroom, and bacon burger. And I know you're thinking to yourself, that doesn't sound right, but I had it at this place called Casey's in Kenora.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was so good. And I literally was craving another one, and it was heavy too. It was probably like three quarters of a pound. Yeah. It was like a lead weight, and I was scarfing back the fries, but yeah, just slightly pink in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just slightly pink in the middle. That was fantastic. But like what I make at home is mayo, mustard, ketchup, pickles, lettuce, tomato, raw white onion. Right. And then sometimes we put bacon, sometimes we don't.
What's your go-to cheese?
Oh, I like the American cheddar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even the Kraft slices. That'll work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just something on there.
It's right? Just the problem with the Kraft slices is when you throw them on the grill, it just kind of all oozes away and it's gone because it's all oil. It's not cheese.
It's one molecule away from being a disc.
Exactly. I will take you when you come down here, buddy. I will take you to a place called Toro Burger, and they have exactly what you described.
Why,
they have.
Why does everything in El Paso have like a Mexican ring to the name? Is there like Dave's, or is it
90%? It's 90% Mexican here.
Is it really?
Yeah, dude.
How like, close are you to the border?
This is how high I am.
Now we're talking about how close he is to the border.
I'm literally on the border. My house itself, it takes me to go play golf at the golf course in Juarez at the country club over there. When I get invited over there to go play, it takes me 25 minutes to get there. So, and that's crossing the border.
Oh, you're right there.
Oh, yeah. You can drive on the border highway and you can see it. It's literally, I mean, the cool thing about El Paso is you've got New Mexico, Texas, obviously, right? And then you have Chihuahua. So you have three states that all meet at one point on the top of a mountain here. That's Mount Cristo Rey, which is a replica of the Rio de Janeiro Christ. It's a smaller version of it. But at that point, all three of those states meet, but it is literally, I mean, you can be driving on the interstate and you look right and it is Mexico, and you look left and it is the United States as you're driving. So it is right on the border. So everything is very Mexican. Yeah, but Whataburger has one. I got a two summers ago, I got a burger, like it's basically like a little contraption where you put the ground beef in a little mold, and then you press it down, and what it does is it creates a cup, and then you put whatever you want on the inside of it. So you can blue cheese, whatever it is that you want to jam in there, cheese, veggies, all of it, put a cap on it, and then you press it and it actually seals it. So you've got a burger with everything on the inside, and then you throw that on the grill. So it's pretty cool. I use that quite often.
Nice.
My story is the biggest story I have is not pot related. The one that just sticks out every single time that I can't believe that we, to a certain extent, survived or not in jail was, speaking of the border, which is funny that you mentioned it. So my cousin and I growing up, he was pretty much my brother. I mean, I spent weekends over in Mexico, you know, spending the weekends with him. We'd go out over there. He'd come here in my house and we'd hang out here. We were probably 21 or so, because we were legal enough to drink in the US. So we had to be at least 21, but real young. And we just got absolutely hammered. And it was Bud Light. Maybe this is why I don't like Bud Light.
Not drinking stories, man. It's 420. No. Pot story. Pot.
I'll get to it.
Pot. I'm trying to calm them down. Sorry, guys. What the hell? What the hell is this?
I'll get to it.
All right.
So we are just absolutely smashing beers, right? And to the point where we're like putting them in the side of the seat. And I'm driving, so I wasn't drinking as much as my cousin. My cousin was hammered. I had to stop drinking and actually be somewhat of a designated driver at this point. And we had to go to his house in Mexico to go get his clothes, because he was going to spend the night with me. And we were going to go see Incubus that night. So like I got him a birthday gift, whatever. And I got him some tickets to Incubus that was going to be in Las Cruces, which is 35 minutes north of El Paso. So it's still close, but another city. And as we're crossing the border, every time when you cross the border, there's like this random, like there's a random search of cars. Like you pull up and it's green light or red light. And if you get a green light, you just kind of keep going. Of course, of all the times, which we never get as we're crossing, we get the red light, right? Yeah. So we're like, fuck. So we have to pull into the little place and all the federal cops show up to the car.
Federales.
And they look at me and they're like, have you been drinking? I was like, no, sir. Has he been drinking? He's like, yeah, pretty heavily, which is why I'm driving him home. Like that was the play, right? Like I didn't have anything. And he's like, oh, well, we need to check him. I was like, why? He's in the passenger seat. The guy goes to open the door. And when he opens it, dude, I'm not shitting you, about 15, 20 cans just spill onto the floor, onto the street. And they take my cousin. They're like, well, we're going to have to test you for drinking. I was like, that's fine. You can test me for drinking. And of course, by the time they get to the blood test and they do everything, you know, like I was fine. But so we get back in the car, we get his clothes, we come back to, we get to the concert about an hour before, probably, you know, just start drinking some beer there, having some fun. And as we walk in and the doors, you know, it's like it was at a basketball court, right? So it's like the little basketball stadium. So as you walk into the arena, it's doors and you open it and it's all, you know, you've got all the seats and then you've got the floor seats, and we were on the floor. So we were walking down. As soon as you open it, this cloud, Matt, comes out of the doors. It's like this huge flute of smoke flies out, just pop, dude. You can't even see the stage from the amount of smoke inside the place. I was like, where the hell is the ventilation? My cousin had never touched pot in his entire life, dude, ever. And he walks in there and we go down and we work our way down. And as soon as the warm-up band starts coming out, they start just handing, like just joints are just like getting passed off and people are hitting it as they're going back and forth, going back and forth, going back and forth. By the time the concert was done, I had to call my dad to come pick us up in Las Cruces. I don't remember. Like, I don't remember half of what happened that night. I kind of remember the band coming out without any shirts on. That's like the one thing that's like stuck in my head. But I remember we came out and the second I stepped into my dad's car, he's like, you guys smell like fucking weed. What the fuck? And then like, oh, the concert. And my dad's like, look at my eyes. And my eyes were, of course, bloodshot. And he's like, so you didn't just, this is not indirect smoke, buddy. What is this? What happened? And I kind of told him the story and everything. He's like, well, I'm glad you called me. Dude, went home. I fell asleep. We didn't wake up until like 1 o'clock the next afternoon. I mean, it knocked us on our ass. It was just like nonstop. So we went from drinking and spilling beers all over the floor, almost getting arrested, to going to an Incubus concert and just completely being like, I genuinely don't remember that night. Like, I remember going to the concert. I remember having to call my dad, and it was payphone at that point, right? Like, that was, there was no cell phones when it was, what was it, like 90, I can't remember what year it was, 90 something. And it was just like, find a stupid ass quarter, because I couldn't find a stupid quarter to put in the machine. So I had to do the collect. And you know, when you do the collect, you have to say, oh, come pick me up, I'm here. Like, leave your name, whatever. Come pick me up, I'm at NSU, I'm here, I'm doing this, I'm at the concert, you need to come pick me up because we're super high. Click, you know?
Yeah. And he goes, decline that, and hangs up, right?
Oh, man, no, it was like 45 minutes later, he showed up, and he was like, yeah, what is wrong with you?
The best podcast in the world.
It's the greatest podcast in English.
The cream of the crop.
They're really, really good.
The best of the best.
Better than the best!
Putting on a good show.
The best Packer podcast on the net.
The finest podcast in all the land.
The cream of the crop.
Guys, tune in. Great show.
Better than the best!
On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. Nobody does it better.
Listen to two losers on Packers Without Borders.
If you like Packers Without Borders, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Spotify, Anchor, and anywhere else you get your favorite podcast. Don't forget to hit the like button, hit subscribe, and leave us a review.
5 stars are preferable, and if you can find us on Patreon as well, under Packers Without Borders, please throw us some money so we can continue doing debauchery. Patreon.com/Packers Without Borders.
Peace. Go Pack, go.
On my own so that's it. I've got to leave before I start to speak.
Matt and Bruce.
Packers Without Borders.
Packers Without Borders.
Packers Without Borders.
Packers Without Borders.
We're listening to my dad and his friend Bruce on Packers Without Borders.
You know, the laws up here have been pretty lax for the last little over 5 years now. Weed has been completely legal in Canada, recreational. I mean, you name it. There's a pot shop on every bloody corner in the city. Even before that, you could carry even up to an ounce without the cops doing anything. The most they could do is just take it from you and throw it out. They couldn't really give you a ticket. And that was like that basically since, gosh, probably about 30 years, like it forever up here, right?
Yeah.
And they started doing the 420 protests on the Manitoba legislative grounds. And normally it's like this. There's a lot of snow. It's kind of cold and whatnot. And so the protests were very small. It'd be like 4 or 5 pot smokers huddled together, right? Yeah. They're like, damn it, make it legal. It's like, get those stoners off the lawn, right? Well, for a couple of years in a row, it was really, really warm on 420 up here. And one of the protests, it was massive. There was probably 400 or 500 people on the legislative grounds, and everybody's sitting and they're all smoking pot openly. Right. Mm-hmm. And the government's just going to let it slide because it's for one day. They're peaceful. They're not making a mess. At the end of the day, they all pick up. They all go. Right. We get it.
Yeah.
You want to legalize pot. Well, I had to go see this protest. I had to see all of these people. And I get there and people are just streaming in. People are getting off of buses. Right. And they're just walking right over in drones and everybody's smoking pot. And the crowd now goes from about 300, 400. I bet you there's about 800, 900 people. right? Like it's crazy the amount of people. People are throwing frisbee and hacky sack. It's everything you could possibly imagine for a stoner.
Every single cliche.
If you've ever driven up to a 7-Eleven, those guys, all of those guys everywhere, hacky sack in, whatever, right? The funniest thing that I saw, though, this was the first time that it happened. After that, everybody caught on. But I'm watching this old guy go down Broadway, and Broadway's like our main strip through the downtown, right? Like all the major buildings and everything, most of them are on Broadway or they're on Portage, right? So he's going in and he's got his cart, and he's got this cart, and it's got the umbrella, and it's got a hot dog on it, and he's carrying this thing down the sidewalk, and you can see this old guy like just hustling, right? And he's trying to get this thing. He puts it down, he sets it up, he opens it up and fires up the barbecue. And about 4 minutes later, everybody smelt those hot dogs. And now there was a 1,000 person lineup. That guy cashed in, baby.
Brilliant.
Now, brilliant. On 420, if you go there now on 420, those hot dog guys have been there since 9 a.m. They've been ready to go. But that guy, he said, I sold out in an hour. Everything that would have taken him a couple of days to sell, he sold it all out in an hour. Right?
Of course. It's the munchies, buddy. The munchies are real. The munchies.
Let me tell you. Everybody says, oh, I don't get the munchies. Walk past a Kentucky Fried Chicken when you're high. I dare you. Every time I go past, I'm like, all right, we got to go in. And I always try and convince the manager, will you just sell me a bucket of skin? Just take the skins off the chicken, put that in a little container. I'll take that. That's all I want, really. It's just the skin, that crispy, salty goodness. I'm already drooling. Look at me.
I was going to tell you, you're already... Even my mouth started watering, and I can't. Right? I do Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't like Church's chicken. That's too greasy to me. I don't like biting into it and having like a wad of grease going in my mouth. Not a fan of that.
Popeyes is good. I like Popeyes and Mary Brown. Mary Brown is good too, but they're air fried.
We don't have Mary Brown.
Really?
No.
Yeah, it might be just a northern states type thing. We get these Maria crossover.
Cafe. Maria Cafe, Mary Brown. Yeah.
We get a lot of these crossover franchises that come up into Canada that were successful, like in Michigan or something. And then they go, hey, let's come on up to the Great White North and try and there's usually quite the novelty for the first couple of months as everybody tries it. And a lot of the times they don't make it. It's not that we don't enjoy American food. It's just, let's be honest. When you think of French food, you think of croissant and pastries and delicacies and
beignets,
escargot, right? Some of the best cooking in the world. You think of Germany, what do you think? You're thinking of bratwurst, you're thinking of horseradish, you're thinking of
sauerkraut, which I can't do real German sauerkraut. I can't do. I can do the canned stuff from Wisconsin. I cannot do real sauerkraut.
When you think of Italy, right, you're thinking of pastas and of course seafood, right, and then pizza, of course. And then you go North America, and it's like burgers,
pizza,
hot dog. Pizza's not ours.
Fusion foods,
right? Yeah. Well, we took Korean and we mixed it with Mexican, and we have a spicy atomic bomb sitting here waiting for you.
Mexarian.
Mexaria is what you get. Right.
Diarrhea since Easter's.
We talk about that all the time up here. People go, well, what's Canadian food? And it's like, well, everything comes from everywhere else. And they go, oh, maple syrup. And it's like, yeah, but that's not Canadian food. That's a Canadian condiment, right? Like, what's Canadian food?
What is Canadian food?
There is
caribou, elk, like game.
All of that is available also in places like Sweden and Finland and stuff like that, where it's been mastered, right? Beforehand, everything. And you have to understand, it's because we weren't here to begin with, right? So there's no Canadian real food. I mean, you know what we get up here? And this, I would take you to a pierogi place up here and get kubasa and pierogies. But of course, that's either Ukrainian or Polish, depending on which of the ones you go into, or even Russian. Some of them are Russian, right? I other than that, everything else is what you can get everywhere. And we really never, you know, cornered the market.
When you think about Canada and the US, that's interesting that you say that, because Canada, just like the US, is made of immigrants, right? Like that's what it is. So everybody brings their own stuff. Like,
so pizza, what's American food?
Pizza is not American. Pizza is Italian.
What's American food?
It's different.
What are you going to say? Steak?
Well, maybe, because I will tell you that West Texas, where I live, they're the number four producer of cattle in the entire world as a country. So there's some countries and then West Texas. So I guess beef would probably be the
American. Isn't Kobe beef? Isn't Kobe beef better?
Yeah, but those Japanese hang their cows and feed them, like hand feed them and hang them. And that's just
a cruel, massage them and so stuff.
Delicious.
They massage them and they bathe them. They feed them beer. I mean, seriously, if you're going to go, that's the way to go.
Dude, I have 90 pounds of Wagyu beef, of steak, in my freezer that my brother-in-law gave me that I do not, I've taken it to three different butchers and, you know, it's sealed packed. I'm like, dude, can you cut this into like doable chunks so I don't have to fucking like defrost the whole thing? He's like, no, we don't do our own. We don't cut for anybody unless it's ours. And that's four different places I've gone to. I think I'm actually going to have to invest in a bandsaw blade next
year. in your backyard.
Yeah, dude.
Yep. Got it. No, think about it. And you know what? Send us your message. Send us your, what is North American food? What is it that we do here that we invented, that we came up with, originated here? What are you going to say? Peach cobbler. You know what I mean? It's going to be like some
apple pie, as American as apple donuts. Pie.
Donuts. Right? But the Dutch made apple pies well before.
By the way, Dutch Bros, the coffee thing, that's kind of the competition for Starbucks.
Yeah.
Way better than Starbucks. And less, like half the price, good coffee, great service, and legit real coffee. We have officially become a Dutch Bros family, hashtag not a sponsor.
But I get the, we get the Tim Hortons original blend up here because it's got the most amount of crack in it.
Yeah, of course.
it's like one sip, one eye, two sips, both eyes, you know, full
three
cup.
Sips more.
I can't. Yeah. Oh yeah. Roof. Are you kidding? Oh, ready to go. So, a little birdie told me you got a little game to play today.
Let's just say that you should not check my phone history after the last 48 hours.
Oh, no, that's not it. That's predictions. Wait a second. What's it's the.
Kitchen appliance or sex toy?
Here we go. Here we go. I did some. Look at this. Go. I told you would bother me when I was on the podcast if you didn't go outside then. Tough luck.
I'm going to stop my video to not tip myself off because that's how
cheap. Nope. You can't cheat.
All right.
You can't cheat. How are we going to post that? Okay. And don't forget, we're releasing other content on Patreon today. It's exclusive for Patreon subscribers. So basically just Carla can watch for right now.
Yeah. She can lose.
Carla and Bruce's wife. Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right, buddy.
Bonus.
The Crave Razor.
The Crave Razor. That is a kitchen appliance.
It is a sex toy. It is a strip run all over your skin.
Oh, terrible. I don't want anything named razor near my genitals. Thank you very much.
What about Love Honey?
That is a kitchen appliance.
It is not. It is a prostate massager.
Oh my God. What?
All right.
Nothing says about, loving.
How about the Obol?
The Obol is a kitchen appliance. I have one.
It is. It is to separate your milk from your cereal so you don't blend it and you don't fuck up your cereal. The Obol.
That, That's not what I use it for, but yes, yes.
What about?
We use it in the bedroom.
What about the what about the rub away?
The rub away? Well, you would think by the name that that would be a sex toy, but I'm going to go with kitchen appliance.
It is. It is a steel bar of soap to help remove odors from your hands.
There you go. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Okay. Yeah.
Hmm. What about the STU?
The stew.
S just, no, it's initials. S period T period U period.
Stuff that uterus. That's a sex toy.
It is a sex toy, but
yeah!
But it is the stamina training unit.
Oh, what is it? Just slap you in the face every time you get close?
I have no idea what the hell it is. I did not want
to project a picture of your mother on the wall.
I did not click on the actual description.
Itself. Well, that's the homework you're supposed to do.
Oh, here you go.
You're either dedicated or you're not. Okay, go on.
What about the chili pepper?
The chili pepper? That is a sex toy.
That is correct. Is it a glass-shaped dildo in the shape of a chili? Correct.
I have one of those, but we use it in the kitchen. Go on.
Exactly. The bread box.
Well, the saying is bigger than a bread box. And when you say bread box, you immediately think kitchen appliance. But because I've known you for 100 episodes, I'm going with sex toy.
It is actually just a basic bread box.
Oh, curveball. You're the curveball. Damn. Okay.
What about?
These are tough. I should have studied.
I told you. What about the cheeseburger?
The cheeseburger? That's a sex toy.
It is a sex toy. It is
100%.
A ball bag.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen those.
In the shape of a hamburger that you put over your balls.
100%. It protects your nuts. It's good. It's good.
Oh, my God.
Especially when you're in group orgies, just in case somebody, you know, wants to start flicking.
What about the Dream Farm Klong?
The Dream Farm Klong. Well, it's been a little while since I said kitchen appliance, so I'll say kitchen appliance.
It is a kitchen appliance. It is actually kitchen tongs with the sauce inside of it. So I guess I don't know what it means by having sauce on the tongs. Why that's...
That is a sex toy, sauce on the tongs.
Sauce on the tongs.
I'm going to try that out tonight.
All right. What about the swashbuckler?
Oh, that's a sex toy.
It is not. It is a bottle opener.
Oh! Which can be used as a sex toy.
Correct.
All of these can be used as a sex toy, by the way.
What about the Kink Master apron?
This would be a kitchen appliance.
It is actually a sex apron.
Damn! I'm terrible at this. What have I gotten so far? Three?
Three.
Oh, I'm terrible at this. Terrible.
What about the Tenga Cool Egg?
That's a kitchen appliance.
It is not. Is it a masturbation sleeve?
You know, everything can be a sex toy if you bring it in the bedroom.
They all sound the same, dude. I was laughing. They all sound exactly the same. Oh, what about the bear paw?
The bear paw is a sex toy.
It is not. It is the closet.
Go ask my sugar bear.
What about the Inspiralizer?
That better be a sex toy.
It is not. It is a kitchen appliance where you put the veggies in there and it's automatic to create little like spirals or like.
Oh, we got one of those. Yeah. We have one of those. We do. We have one of those. Oh, terrible.
Oh, man. Here we go. What about the ham dogger?
That's a sex toy.
It's a kitchen appliance.
That's terrible. You're just making these up. Whatever I say, you're saying that. You're like, what about the hand jerker?
The ham dogger. Is actually where you can crush up any type of meat or grind up any meat to make your own hot dogs. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. All right.
What about the Earl?
Kitchen appliance.
It is a $2,590 golden dildo.
Oh my God. What are you just someone else at that point. Holy smokes.
Use a finger.
Just find someone else.
Right. Well, what about the drip stick?
That's a kitchen appliance.
It's not a kitchen appliance. It is a sponge, like on a stick, used to sop up the fluids, you know, like whenever you're done, that there's like the stuff left inside of a woman, apparently that sops it up inside so you don't have it dripping out. I had to describe.
You're going to have to burn your phone.
Oh my God. I'll give you a good one. I'll give you an easy one. What about a clone of Willy?
Clone a Willy? Willy, that's a sex toy.
It is a sex toy. It is there a mold for your penis where if you want to, it takes a mold of your penis and then you fill it with whatever silicone and then it's like, and that way when
jelly
you're on, yeah, when you're on vacation or you're away from the house, your wife is still with you or you're still with your wife. The clone a Willy. What about the double fister?
That's a sex toy.
That is also a sex toy. No description necessary. That is literally.
No, explain to me.
It is. It looks like a giant double-sided fist, like a silicone thing that has a fist on each side.
Like a double-ended dildo.
Yes, correct. But
fists. That has fists on the other side. It's okay, Bruce. You can speak adult. It's all right.
We've got one more.
Okay.
You've gotten four right. Let's see if you can get 5 out of 25.
I'm actually pretty proud that I'm not getting most of these right.
The monkey business.
That is a sex toy.
It is not. It is a veggie.
Oh. Terrible. Terrible. I am horrible at this game. I'm glad that goes to show how many sex toys I have to use.
Right? Yeah. Oh, you did like I did the first pirate and sex act. You'll get better. And I try not to have any spells because
I'll start studying. This won't take away from the game that we're going to play on Saturday. This is an extra game for the 100th episode. 100 episodes, buddy. What was, before we go here, what was your favorite moment out of the 100 episodes, what was, if you could narrow it down to one or two things, what do you think? I mean, we had guests on like Andy from the UK, Andy Fox. We had Jeremy. We had
Colton.
Melbourne.
What was it like 42 or 47 guests or 40, something?
48 guests. And we had a few of them on multiple times, right? Carla and Peter from the UK. Don't forget the Acme Army boys, had them on a couple of times. Amy's been on a couple of times.
A little shout out to Peter on, you know, he's the draft guru. So go follow him if you're not following him.
TJ Wims.
Okay. Ooh, TJ.
TJ Wims, we had him on. Let's see. Bales of Hay, Aaron Ellis, Jamie Cheesebutt, Matt Ramage.
Daddysaurus Rex.
Daddysaurus Rex, Alex Brown, Himley out in Turkey.
Luke Sawhook, our fantasy football guy.
Soren Sordegren from Sweden.
The greatest skipper of all time.
He's the
greatest
skipper. His memes. I mean, he's got a doctorate in memes. I guess that's what they teach in Sweden. You know, I hope we're not forgetting anybody. Don't forget about Mick Stevenson and his brother Matt, of course. Mick's been on a few times. So
the one episode that my daughters listened to all in the car was the Mick and his brother episode. And if you recall, he mentioned sticking your dick in mashed potatoes to start off the show. So
that episode. I love how he started that one. Gosh, that was a long time ago too. That was
Jeremy's contagious laugh, Amy's contagious laugh. Honestly, it's such a pleasure. It is so cool. You know, the Twitter tailgate with you know.
Here we go.
Beastie Boys once said, if I knew it was going to be this kind of party, I'd stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Right. Just Some of the craziest stuff, right? We had the Knights of the Round Table, of course, JJ Leahy. We had Pac Daddy Coach Hahn, right? Wow. We have had Kimmy. Kimmy was on. Don't forget about Kimmy. We had Matt Stevenson, Matt from Cincinnati, Matt Kuhneman, the quarterback. Holy smokes. I mean,
Chris, your buddy Chris.
Chris was on. We've had a few Chris's on. Randy out in Florida.
Get Randy with me, baby.
Gosh, we've had a bunch, man. It has been a blast. I think one of the best episodes or one of the best times that we had is when we had Mick and Jeremy on and when Andy's on, because we're all, you know, sort of the same age. We all sort of know the same stuff and we all kind of rib each other really good. There's a lot of times where I have to edit out these big long stretches of just us laughing. Right. Where it's 4 or 5 minutes.
What we're going to do is Patreon. Whenever those episodes go long, the extra bonus stuff, we'll actually put that stuff on Patreon. We'll run the extended episodes all on Patreon. Understand that it's still probably going to be edited sometimes, because as anybody who does a podcaster knows that there's a lot of times. Yeah.
Occasionally something slips out of your mouth that maybe you don't want to say, right. But you know what? We've got a new segment that's going to start up here in the next couple of weeks. And if you're on Patreon, you can figure it out. We let the cat out of the bag on Patreon. We're still going to play the guessing game on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere else that it's free. Guys, don't get us wrong here. We are not pulling away from free podcasting. We are not pulling away from iTunes or Spotify or wherever you hear us now. We're attempting to get a little bit better production, a little bit better guests, a little bit better bang for your buck. And in order for us to do that, we need a little bit of money. So
genuinely, yeah, this is going to go straight into the pod.
Right. Yeah, we're not sitting around going, man, I'm going to retire off of this or anything. If we turn out to be like Pat McAfee, then we'll retire off of it. But we'll put the videos up on Patreon. We'll put up a couple of episodes every month that are exclusive to Patreon, the extended interviews, that sort of thing, you know, the extra stuff.
YouTube was a pain in the ass, dude. Like the formatting, I got somebody that I met So just a little quick background. I'm now on the board, Matt, for a school here in El Paso called Let There Be Rock. So any El Paso listeners, I know there are a few of you out there, give them a shout out. But I'm on their board. They're starting a foundation to help bring music to kids that are less fortunate, that cannot afford private lessons, cannot afford music lessons. They do concerts once a month. You know, those are the ones that
were playing Iron Maiden, man.
Yeah.
Dude. Any school, and I told you this the other day, any school that'll teach Iron Maiden, I'm in for a donation. You mark me down immediately. Immediately. That's important stuff. That's important stuff. You got to know your Maiden. Got to know your Sabbath.
And the guy that they have in there that's going to be like their social media guru does a podcast with his wife, does a podcast, and knows YouTube. And he said, oh, dude, it took me about a month and a half to figure that out. You know? Yeah. So he's going to walk me through how to get those videos on there to format them, because if not, then it's just 15-second clips. But to get the 20 minutes that you need out of there, it has to be in a specific format. You have to convert the file. He's going to show me how to do that. And I guess we'll decide, right, whether it's going to be YouTube or if we put just our ugly faces or our beautiful faces, whatever side you lean on when you see us out there on Patreon, just so you can take a look at us. I don't know. But yeah, this is just – it's something where – equipment is necessary. There are certain things that we need to buy to make this thing sound and be the quality product that we want it to be. We are obviously fully invested in this as much as we possibly can, and genuinely appreciate the support, dude. It's so crazy, man, that it hasn't even been a year, 100 episodes. I think we can probably just close the show real quick on how you and I actually got together, because we've never actually met in person, which is something that some people are kind of shocked about. But I think you know, not I think, I know you know just as much about me as my wife does. We are completely transparent with each other. And we ran into each other on Twitter, probably what? Right around this time, right? It was right around March or so, April, right in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was just before my spring season started. And I was sitting around just like now, just sitting around waiting for something to happen, right? Like in my business, there's a few weeks out of the year where you're waiting for the weather to do something so that you can start work on a different season. And it was about this time. And knowing me, I was not very vocal on Twitter and I barely tweeted.
Never. Yeah, never. I don't know how I am with you.
Anyway, I had a few people talk to me about maybe starting a podcast and maybe doing this and that. And I don't want to make this sound like I invented this. I came up with this.
Yeah,
I did
this. Yeah, because, you did.
Well,
what was your idea? You reached out to me, man.
I reached out to you because I saw that we were the similar age. We both have similar things. We both have some kids. We both have wives. We both have work. We both, you know, we do the same sort of thing. You're on one side of the border. I'm on the other side of the border. So there's a couple of different viewpoints and opinions that are going to come here. We're both Packer fans and we can both remember before Rodgers, which then gives you a different perspective of the Green Bay Packers, right? Mm-hmm. And I had a couple of people kind of reach out. Acme Army had me on their podcast. And you know what? I said to myself, all right, I'm going to do it. And I think I'm going to do it with this Bruce guy. Because this Bruce guy looks like this guy's going to be sort of in line with me. He's got sort of the same sense of humor as I do. Maybe I'm a little more twisted, you know. But yeah, so I reached out to you.
I'm just fucking crazy. You're funny. I'm crazy.
Yeah. And but looks aren't everything. So I reached out to you and you were like, yeah, man, I've got a couple of things going, but yeah, let's do this. And then it had been a couple, 2-3 weeks. And I was like, mm-hmm. All right, so listen, I want to get this thing going. Like, I think I talked to you in like April and our first one was what? June 6th or something. It was Father's Day. Right. So it was about a month and a half. And finally, I reached out to you and I was like, yeah, so listen, if you don't want to do this, you don't have to do this. It's not going to hurt my feelings to be told no. I'm a married guy. I get told no 34, 50 times a day. Yeah. No is, I get told it so many times. No, you think it was my name.
Yeah. No, I've got no in my name. No, Bruce.
You think it was my dog. Get down. I yelled, get down at my dog so many times. She thinks it's her name. But and you were like, all right, let's just do this. And we jumped on a Zoom. And that first Zoom, I think, was about 3.5 hours. It was a 2 a.m. debauchery. All of our best ideas are when we are just ripped and we're just, yeah, completely. We have a new segment. And gosh, I really want to let the cat out of the bag.
Hold on, hold on. Yeah, let me think about it. Let me tell you my side of it. So,
all right,
you reach out to me on Twitter, you DM me, and I talk to my wife about it. Obviously, this is and the way that I am, and it's almost a flaw sometimes. I'll say it's my flaw. You know, when you go into a business interview and they're like, "What's your biggest flaw?" I was like, "I'm a fucking racehorse." Like, once I commit to something, like it's really hard to remove the blinders, and sometimes it goes to a fault. So if I was going to do this, it wasn't going to be, we're going to do this for a couple months, or do this for a year. No, this is a long-term commitment the way that I saw it. And I had to make sure, dude, like we were just going to do Saturdays. And at that point, Saturdays were family time, you know, working Monday through Friday. Luckily I had my own business. So I had some free time in between there, but I had to set some stuff up more than anything with my wife to say, I'm doing this. And since I never go out anyway, this is going to be my going out. You know, like you're going to give me a few hours a week for me to be able to sit down and do my podcast. This is therapy for me. Yesterday, I have to tell you about yesterday. So take my daughter to 9 Round, which is like a kickboxing class, right? And usually you wait 30 minutes outside the car and I sit in the car and I tweet and I do whatever. And I didn't feel like sitting in the fucking car. So I look over and there's a place called Keg and Brew, literally like across, like same parking lot, just walk like 20 feet. There's bar. I was like, beer, Keg and Brew. That's beer. Let me walk in there. So I sit in there. I call you 2 seconds into that. My wife called and I was like, God, dude, I got to take this. It's like, what are you doing at Keg and Brew? I was like, having a beer by yourself. Yeah. Who are you with? It's like, nobody. I'm here at the bar having a beer. She's like, that's weird. I was like, yeah, because I never fucking go out. That's why it's weird. Like, I need to talk to Matt. I'll talk to you later. Bye. But anyway, so it was a commitment to you, man. And when we talked and we hit it off right off the bat, I knew this was going to be good, just because you are genuinely one of the nicest people and the most genuine person that I know. There's other people that I know that are as genuine as you, Matt, but there is no, and my wife says I have no filter. Your wife, I'm sure, says that you have no filter. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm just saying deep inside, you are genuinely a good soul and a good person, man. And that's what
I appreciate.
That's what made me ultimately say yes.
That's exactly how I feel too. The romance is very much alive. And, you know, to finish today's podcast off, I'm going to run the first couple of minutes of our very first pod together.
Oh my God.
100 episodes ago. Congratulations, buddy. 100 episodes. Can you believe it?
I can't. I genuinely can't. Like, I just can't fathom that we hit 100 episodes.
100 episodes, brother. This was 100. Catch us on Patreon. Don't forget to send us your DMs at Borders Packers, Packers Without Borders, our Facebook page, Packers Without Borders, and or our email, PackersWithoutBorders@outlook.com, all at one word. Wednesday's pod, down, 420, done, 100 episodes, drop in the bucket. Here comes another 100.
And we're at 114,200 listens. So 420, 11142000 listens on 420 with our 100th episode.
There you go. Boom.
Bing.
Peace.
Bang.
Peace. Go Pack, go.
Okay. So welcome to Packers Without Borders. My name is Matt Larson, here with my co-host, Bruce.
How you doing, Matt? You ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready to rock and roll. It is Father's Day. It is the very first, the virgin show of Packers Without Borders. We are two dads that are 40-something. Both have some kids. I know I have two. I think Bruce has got 11 children.
It's only three. But
only three?
It feels like 11.
I know. Two feels like 10. I know. Two feels like 10.
Well, you know what the difference is, right? So when you have two, you're playing man. As soon as you hit three, you go from man to zone, and that's when everything changes.
That's when stuff goes wrong.
There's always one uncovered doing something they're not supposed to be doing.
Right in the middle. How did that one get wide open? Exactly.
So, oh, Matt. Well, I'm excited to start this with you, man. This is the inaugural Packers Without Borders podcast, and it's been a long time coming. I think for us, it's taken some planning and some work on both, you know, on your end especially. And I'm excited to work with you, man. So let's see how this goes. And
I want to make very clear that way people can either turn us off right at the beginning, or, you know, maybe they want to continue. We are going to talk Packers. We are going to talk, past and present. We are going to talk quite a bit about Packers. I mean, I'm a Packer fan. Bruce is a Packer fan. This is how we kind of got together in this Packer family that we have as fans. You know, you see that guy across the mall and he's wearing the same hat you are, and you give each other a little nod. You know that, yes, you are a smarter fan than the other 31 other teams that are out there. You are definitely smarter than the average fan. But we're also going to talk about things like, you know, guys' health, things that men like to do, being a dad. That's important. You know, ghosts, space, you name it. What's going to happen is we're gonna have a couple of drinks, we're going to have a couple of edibles, and we're going to see what the hour takes us.
This has been Packers Without Borders. Try and be kind to one another. Try and love each other. And go Pack, go.
Esto ha sido Empacadores Sin Fronteras. No se les olvide cuidarnos unos a los otros. Hasta luego. Eh.
rolling my homegrown, smoking a big bone. Look at that ganja covered with oil.
Oh my God.
Using my tweezers. Woo! Got pot in the freezer.
Whoa!
Made a new pipe out of aluminum foil. We stayed away again in Marijuanaville, searching for my roach clip on a rope.
On a rope, on a rope, on a rope.
Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know that it's all this damn dope. Don't know the reason. Stayed here all season. Maybe that tie stick was a way bit too strong. But I got a real beauty. A Colombian doobie. Okay, baby, come on, man. And soon I'll be up on my way along.
Lucy, you got some splitting to do, baby.
Wasted away again in Marijuanaville. Searching for my roach clip on a rope.
On a rope, on a rope, on a rope.
Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know that it's all this damn dope. I blew out my bong pipe, ran out of Bud Light, but I found some stash I had hidden at home. Put it into a blender, and soon it will render these little fudge brownies that help me get stoned. Wasted away again in Marijuanaville. Come on, you guys, sing along with me another word. Searching for my roach clip on a rope.
On a rope, on a rope, on a rope.
Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know that it's all this damn dope. Yes, and some people claim I sound like Dylan when I'm stuck, but I know that it's all this damn dope.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, my God.